Who are the happy people in the world? Who are the people that really have joy? A lot of us would think it's the rich and the famous. Now, some of those folks may be Christians, and they may have some joy, but those that are not are those who may have had some kind of claim to be and definitely got out of God's will. They didn't have any joy. And there are a lot of people that are not joyful. They don't have happiness. They are very wealthy. They're very well known. They're very rich. Robin Williams took his own life in 2014. How many of you remember Robin Williams? And then you had Whitney Houston. I remember watching part of that funeral. My, what a funeral it was. She died, I can't believe it's been this long already, in 2012, in February. And then some of you rocks people who like to hear rock music and that kind of music, Kurt Cobain, died in 1994. I'm not going to ask how many of you know him. And I'm not going to ask you how many of you knew of Elvis Presley. But I've been to Graceland. How many of you have been to Graceland? Quite a few of you, and most of us are senior citizens. But Elvis died in 1977. I believe we were at Word of Life Camp. Is that right, Carolyn? When we got the word, we were up in Scroon Lake, New York. And I could not believe that he had taken his own life. And if you've been there to Graceland, you saw all the wealth, the big, beautiful mansion, the jet plane, and all of the gold records and platinum records and all those things. But he really took his own life. So who should be happy? Well, I believe we as believers, Christians, ought to be happy and have the joy of the Lord. And if you will, turn to Isaiah just a second. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to talk about wells of joy. Things that spring out of the wells of joy for a Christian. The well of salvation is what we're talking about. Isaiah chapter 12. And locate your place there, and we begin with verse 1, Isaiah 12 in verse 1, and our main text verse is verse 3. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Now, verse 3, our text verse. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy, we should be able to draw water from the wells of salvation. And it's a perpetual artesian well that goes on and on and on and on. And we should be drawing from it all of our Christian life. Now, we know that the Jews were back in Sinai in the desert, and the world to us is a desert, but they were in Sinai in the desert, and Moses did something that was miraculous because God told him what to do. What did he do? He took the rod and struck the rock, didn't he? And all of those people and all of those animals drank from that deluge of water that came out of there, because the Bible indicates that it was a blessing to all of those people that he was leading across. A marvelous miracle in the desert when he struck the rock and gave all of that water. But that was symbolic of someone, and that was symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a prophecy, really, of Christ, who is going to be stricken for you and for me and to pay the price for our sins. Now, Moses made a bad mistake later on. You recall what he did the first time he struck the rock in Mount Horeb. And then later, he was supposed to speak to the rock, not strike it again. Jesus was never going to die twice, and he wasn't going to be stricken twice. He'll never have to die again. Amen? And the water came from that because of the fact that it was a picture of Jesus Christ, that rock in Horeb. But when he did that, he offended God. And God said, that's not the true picture. The picture we ought to have tonight is that when we get saved, we just have water flowing from our heart all the time. this artesian well of blessings that God gives us as His children. And we ought to be joyful people because God has given it to us. Now, I'm glad this well has been offered to all sinners. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, great. But if you're not, I can tell you this well is offered to you. And you can be saved. Isaiah 55:1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Well, what is he talking about? He's talking about God. Come to God. Come to Christ. Come to grace. And he that hath no money, it's free. You don't have to pay for it. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come and receive your gift, your blessing, without money and without price. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Well, that's what happened to the woman who was going to the well with her water pot. And the Lord Jesus Christ went out of His way and went to the woman at the well there in Samaria. And when He went there, they had a conversation. He knew her background. He knew that she was miserable, filled with guilt. She had had five husbands and was living with one right then that was not her husband. That ought to give us a clue about how God feels about that, by the way. But she had had five husbands, living with one that was not her husband. And they got in a conversation, and he began to give her some information about himself. In John 4:13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Talking about the water of the world, the water out of that well. Most of us will drink some water every day, won't we? We drink a little water today, and we'll go back and drink some more tomorrow. And it's never going to, if we could drink just one glass of water and that'd do it for the rest of our lifetime, that'd save us a lot of time and trotting to the refrigerator at night and so on and so forth and buying water at the Walmart or wherever you get yours and then the bottled water. We wouldn't have to do that anymore. But he said, this is not going to satisfy. But listen to John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That means you and me, we've gotten saved. And there should be in our lives this spring of living water. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Do you have it tonight? We're supposed to have it. And the idea is that we're joyful because of it. And he attaches joy to all of that. And I'm so glad that he says all people can come to this well. Because he says, whosoever will may come. And in Revelation 22:17, one of the very last invitations that we know anything about in all of Holy Writ reads this way, and the Spirit and the bride say, what? Come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst, needs water, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What a picture. Getting saved, taking the water of life, placing it in our hearts. Now, what's in this well of water of salvation? What's in this well? If we're drawing from the well to get our joy, what are we going to find in this well? Well, one of the first things we find is the joy of all of our sins being forgiven. And friend, we ought to praise God tonight that all of our sins are under the blood. I thank God tonight that I have a clear conscience before God. I don't have the demands of sin, the fear of judgment anymore. The fear of judgment is gone. I don't have to worry about God judging me in eternity and sending me to hell. Why? Because my sins have been forgiven. I got that from the well of salvation. All of the guilt of my past and present and future is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Every last bit of it. And I'm glad tonight my sins are forgiven, my conscience is cleared, and my slavery to sin is gone. I do not have to be a slave to sin anymore. Why? That's part of what we get when we get saved. Sin's forgiven. Aren't you glad your conscience is clear tonight? If it isn't, you hadn't been saved. You've got to believe that it's under the blood and that Jesus paid for your sins. I can imagine the prodigal son as he had been down there in all of the pig pen and the way he smelled when he came back home, and the rebellion, the embarrassment, the feeling of guilt that he had. And he comes back home, and I'm sure he's wondering as he heads home, what's my dad going to say? Is he going to accept me? What's he going to do? But thank God he forgave him, didn't he? And he indicated to his son, let's forget the past. Let's get the fatted calf and put on this robe and so on and so forth. Let's do all of that. Let's go on with the future because your sins, I have forgiven you of your sins. Do you think the prodigal was happy that day? I think he was overwhelmed and thrilled to death. Even if his jealous brother got mad at him, he was still thrilled because his father took him back. And he didn't have to be guilty anymore. Yes, he had failed. Yes, he had sinned. Yes, he had hurt his father. But his father was saying, all is forgiven. And that's exactly what he said to us. And hey, think about what you've done in your lifetime up to this point. We all want to line up here one by one and share some of those things publicly. The secret things you've done that your wife doesn't even know about. The secret things you women have done, your husband doesn't even know about. The secret things that anybody in this building has done, nobody else knows about. The things that you know about. Thank God it's under the blood. It's under the blood. And I want to tell you, I'm glad my sins are under the blood. I have my share of them, and I'm glad they're under the blood. Thank God for it. Luke 10:20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. Don't rejoice about that, he said to his disciples, but rather rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. You have a reason to rejoice tonight. You have a reason to rejoice. Your sins are forgiven. They're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, secondly, we have the joy of a comforter. That comes out of that well too. When you got saved, you got more than that, you got the comforter. Jesus said, I'm going to send somebody like me. And that would be the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're saved, you have the comforter living in you tonight. Hey, it's great because if Jesus were here physically, we couldn't get to him. The crowds were always trying to get to him. A lot of them couldn't get to him. He was limited even in his physical body as God in the flesh to how he could comfort and minister a limited number of people. But not so with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells each one of us. And he can comfort you if you're in Africa or wherever you may be, or Fort Worth or Dallas or wherever you may be. He can comfort you wherever you are. And so that comes out of the wellspring, the wellhead of salvation. We have a comforter tonight, and I'm so glad we do have a comforter. He's a guide. Thank God he wants to guide if we'll just listen to him. He is our teacher. You want to know the Scripture? Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand the Bible. When you're studying the Bible and reading the Bible, he is the master teacher. He wants to teach you. The Holy Spirit wants to do that. And he is the one that is our comforter. Now, if you've ever gone through trials and you've ever lost loved ones, and especially if you've lost them unexpectedly, you know what it is to have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Some of you right here in this building, I've been with you right after your mate died. And I'm not trying to be morbid, but I've been with you right after your mate died, and I've seen the comfort that the Holy Spirit has given you. And believe you me, it's different. It's really different among those who are walking with the Lord and those who are saved and those who are not saved. There is an emptiness in those who are not saved. I do funerals sometimes for people I don't know. And I have people tell me, I don't think they were saved. They never testified that they got saved. And I want to tell you, there's sort of a cold blanket and an iciness usually in that kind of service. But oh, if they knew the Lord. And you know they're in heaven. You know they went there. The Holy Spirit of God comforts us during those times. And you who have been through it know what it is. And maybe some trial you have gone through or are going through. Aren't you glad that you have some help above and beyond the preacher and those around you? And he is the person, the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, lean on him because he's the one that can help you out. He can do more for you than I can do for you. I'll do what I can, but he'll do more for you than I can do for you. He is the blessed comforter. And then there's the joy of answered prayer. Thank God for answered prayer. I'm glad that when God saved us, he said, now you can call on me. I'm your Father. You can come to me in the name of Jesus. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in my name, believing you shall receive. That's qualified by whether we're living right and some of those things. But we know if we're walking with God, we have the right for that. Answered prayer. John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. Why? That your J-O-Y might be full. The joy of answered prayer. Have you had any prayers answered lately? Isn't it a thrill when you're praying about something? And I hope you have a prayer list. Then you can put it on there when you listed that prayer need. And then when that prayer is answered, you can write the date and praise God and thank Him for it. I had the privilege of marking just the other day through a name of a guy I've been praying for to get saved. And I heard that he got saved. The information came, he's saved. And I marked through it and thanked God that he came to the Lord. We need a prayer list. And thank God that we have the privilege of having prayers answered. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have prayers answered. And I'm telling you, as a pastor all of these years, 45 years of pastoring, 48 years in full-time service, and longer than that preaching, but those times, I want to tell you, prayer is what's carried me through. I promise you that. And I believe my wife would tell you that I'm a praying man. And I want to tell you, I know the value of prayer. And without prayer, you're not going to be a happy Christian, but God has given it to us so we can have joy. And that's what He says. Why? That your joy may be full. When your prayers are answered, that your joy may be full. And by the way, if God answers a prayer for you, tell somebody. Share it with them. Let them know what He's done for you. You don't have to have 3 points, 3 parables, and a big outline, but just tell them what God has done for you and let them know and rejoice in answered prayers. And I can give you a whole list of prayers God has answered for me and my wife over the years. But I thank God that's part of being saved. I get to go to God in prayer, and so do you if you're born again, and take your burden to the Lord like we were talking about Sunday night and leave it there. Then we have the privilege of daily fellowship with the Lord. I like that. Daily fellowship with the Lord. Have you had fellowship with Him today? I hope you have. That's one of the great blessings we have. Fellowship with the Father. Read 1 John. That's what it's all about. Not getting saved, but fellowship. Having sweet communion and fellowship with the Father. And I can tell you, unconverted people just don't have that. They don't have it. I love to go out on our patio early in the morning, real early in the morning. I get up nowadays. It seems like I'm getting up whether I want to or not at 4 o'clock or 4:30 or whatever. When some people get old, that happens to them. But at any rate, I love to get out there early just when the sun's barely coming up with my Bible and just have fellowship with God. And there are other places and other times, but if you do something like that, you are nodding yes in your heart and soul. You know that's right. Sweet fellowship with the Father. And I tell you, I love my fellowship with God. I love it. I love to have time alone with God, just me and God, you and God, having fellowship together. That's a blessing that we get out of the well of being saved. We're not going to have, if you're not saved, you will never have fellowship with God. You cannot have fellowship with God. You say, well, God's blessing me and this is good, it's happening. That's not fellowship with God. That God is just good and His general grace to all people. But if you're going to have fellowship with God, you must be born again. And so we have the joy of answered prayers. And then there's the joy of the Scriptures. Jeremiah said it this way in chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the J-O-Y, there it is again, the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name of host. Thy word was joy and rejoicing to me. Do you spend time in this old blessed book? This is God's holy word, isn't it? You know I'm going to say that. You know we agree the fact that this is without error. This is God's infallible word, verbal plenary, word for word, all of the words in this wonderful King James Version that God has given us, which is, the, as I said Sunday, the most accurate version that's out there. Bar none. And I know what I'm talking about. So thank God we have the blessed Word of God. And isn't it great? Some people, you know, if you had a letter from the president, you'd open it and show it to everybody. But we have a letter from God. Sometimes we don't even take time to read it. We get too busy and we don't take time to read it. But the joy of the Scriptures. You know, it's foolish to be hungry when you can be fed. It's foolish to not be in the Word. Sad when you could be joyful because of spending time in the Word of God. You'll never be a joyful Christian, a real joyful Christian with the joy of the Lord in your life unless you spend time in this book. You must spend time in the Word of God. And that's a joy for those who really love the Bible and love to spend time. We need to turn the television off. Well, you don't do that anymore. You click about four different remotes that you got around. Which one do you get? Does this one work? I don't know which one. That's for that, and that's for that. That's for the other. But turn them all off. You don't have to watch that program every night. Get the Bible and go somewhere in your bedroom and spend some time in devotion. Spend some time with your kids, grandkids, whatever the case may be. And then another joy we have is the joy of winning people to Jesus Christ. How many people are missing that thrill and joy that we have of winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ? Psalm 126:5, they that sow in tears shall reap in what? Joy. You have to sow in tears. You've got to have a broken heart for lost people. Most people, I'll just be honest with you, just don't have a real broken heart for lost people. They'd rather be popular, liked, stroked, coddled, brought into the circle, rather than to witness and to tell people about Christ. And then he said in Psalm 126:6, he that goeth forth, that's the toil, that's the work. He that goeth forth and weepeth, there the tears, the toil, the tears, bearing precious seed, that's the gospel, shall doubtless, no doubt about it, come again with what? Rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. Bringing his sheaves with him. That's the triumph. So we have the toil and the tears. If we have that, we're going to have some victories. And folks, we could all do a better job of telling others about Jesus Christ. By the way, the warm contact evangelism. We have these cards out there. If you know somebody, wherever you do business, a relative, a neighbor, a friend, or someone, if you'll go by that desk on the right in the lobby on your way out, fill one of these out. You say, I'm scared to talk to them. I need somebody to go with me or somebody that might go. I may not be able to go. And you give us that information, and that's a good way. You can go on visitation anytime, anywhere, anyway, in a sense, soul winning, by getting this information to us. And we go out, and you can go with a person, learn how to win them to the Lord as you watch them, and pray for them while they're trying to witness to your dear friend or neighbor, some contact you have, and when they get saved, you'll rejoice. Warm contact evangelism. You don't have to be out on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to take this seriously because there's joy in winning people to Jesus, seeing that they get saved. Rejoicing, the Bible says, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels in heaven. Whenever somebody gets saved, we had a little boy saved Sunday morning and heaven got excited about it. Very few Baptists here did, but heaven got excited about it. Maybe some of you did. Praise God if you did. I hope you did. But you say, well, it was just some little boy that rode the bus. Listen, thank God Jesus died for his soul. He paid for his soul. And if he got saved, hallelujah, praise God, we ought to rejoice because up in heaven there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels when one little boy gets saved. I was that little boy one time, 9 years of age, he got saved. They were surprised up there and then they rejoiced, you know, that I got saved. But at any rate, that's the attitude we ought to have. Jesus said about the woman, the disciples said, Master, eat. Said, you hadn't eaten all day. You hadn't eaten. They went and got some meat and brought it back and said, Master, eat. And you know what Jesus said? I have meat to eat that you know not of. What was he talking about? Had he brought some sardines in his hip pocket or in his robe or something like that? I don't think so. I know so. I know he didn't do that. What he was talking about was, I just led this woman to the Lord at the well and I'm thrilled. And I'm not worried about eating right now. I'm more involved with spiritual things. Keep your ham sandwich and keep all the rest of it and the meatloaf or anything you've brought Because there's more joy in seeing this woman get saved who's gone back to tell people, come meet a man that told me everything about me. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. The joy in souls being saved. Now, very quickly, what things can cause a Christian to lose their joy? Do you have the joy you ought to have tonight? What can make them lose their joy? Obviously, the first one is sin. That's obvious. That's a given. That'll rob you of your joy. You can put on a facade and you can fake it around people. But friend, down in your heart, if you have sin in your life, you don't have the joy of the Lord in your soul. You do not have it. You can fake it and fool your mate and fool everybody else around you, perhaps the pastor and everyone else. David said this in Psalm 51, "My sin is ever before me." David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband murdered. What a horrible thing that he did. It's a terrible thing. He said, "My sin is ever before me." It was. He lost a little baby. He had the guilt of what he had done. He reaped that in his family. That happens. All of that. But then in verse 12 of Psalm 51, he said, "Restore unto me the joy, there it is. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, "Save me again." Amen? He didn't say, "Restore salvation unto me." He said, "Restore the joy of thy salvation unto me." And did God do it? Yes, He did. And we know that He said David was a man after His own heart, even after he had failed God so grossly. So it doesn't always have to be something like that. Sometimes it's not a flagrant sin, we would call it like that. But it's just being preoccupied with other things. Preoccupation. Preoccupation. Not flagrant sin. What do you mean, preacher? Neglect your prayer life. Neglect your Bible reading. Neglect fellowship with the Father. Having time with Him. Preoccupied with what? I don't know. Burdens? Sometimes we, instead of letting our burdens get us close to the Lord, we let it get us away from the Lord. And preoccupied sometimes with pleasure. We get so wrapped up in the world and pleasure and all of these things that we do, that we maybe are not guilty of flagrant open sin, but they're sins of commission and omission. A lot of times it's what we leave out that God is not happy with. There are other things. But how are we going to restore the joy of being happy, the joy of our salvation, if we have lost the joy of our salvation? Well, the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. I like that. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Tonight, you don't need to be cast down. Amen? You don't need to be cast down. You don't need to be depressed and fretting and sad and feeling guilty and all the things that go with all of that. Don't hound yourself over your past sins. The devil will try to bring them up, put them on your shoulder, and turn you around and make you follow them and listen to them and try to make you feel sad and defeated and beat up and all of that if you let him do it. Your sins are under the blood. If you've confessed them, then encourage yourself in the Lord and go on forward for the glory of God. And 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's to the child of God. That's who it was written to. So we don't need to keep an albatross around our neck of guilt when we've turned it over to God and He's forgiven us. And then another way we can do it is to give God praise. Give God praise. You want to get out of the doldrums and be a joyful Christian? There are other things. Going back to your Bible, prayer, and all of those things. But give God praise and give Him. You know, God likes praise. He likes to be praised. He enjoys that. You say, "Well, I didn't know He needed it." You need it. But He enjoys it. God likes to be praised. And you ought to count your blessings. 1 Thessalonians says, "In everything, do what? Give thanks." Everything? Yes, everything. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Praise the Lord, and don't forget what He's done for you. List, go home tonight and list 10 things that you're thankful for. I mean, you may say, well, I don't know, 10? Yeah. If it's nothing but being able to blink your eye once in a while. Now you'll be very conscious of that the rest of the message. But thank God for whatever it is, anything, that you can raise your hand, that you can walk out of this building. You say, well, I can't walk. Well, thank God you can see. Well, I can barely see. Well, thank God if you can hear. Well, I can't do any of those things. Well, thank God for something. Find something to thank God for, amen? Because there's plenty to thank God for. If you have any problem, just go back to the cross. Start there and you'll think of some things to be thankful for. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. I'm telling you tonight that we as Christians ought to have the joy of the Lord. We shouldn't be down, depressed, in the doldrums. The world ought to expect our face to have been identified with our heart and let our face know that we're saved. We don't have to go around smiling like a chicken all the time. I mean, we can't always do that. But we ought to have a countenance that people who are unsaved look at us and say, I want what they've got. I want exactly what they've got. And so if most people are repulsed sometimes by what we don't present the joy of the Lord. We ought to have the joy of the Lord. That's what I'm saying. And it all comes from this artesian well called getting born again, the well of salvation. Do you have the joy tonight in your soul? If not, you can get it back. And I've told you at least a few things you can do to get the joy of the Lord back. Let's stand, please. We'll have an invitation. If you're here and you're not saved, won't you come tonight and be saved? That's how you get the joy of the Lord. It all starts with salvation. You'll never have it until you get saved. And then, do you have it tonight? If not, come pray. Talk to God about it at the old-fashioned altar. And ask Him to restore the joy of that salvation to you. Would you do it? While we sing right after we pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Use it, bless it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.